had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody. And everybody. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy.
I'm Micheline Malouf.
And I'm Nadia Desi, licensed therapist and host of Getting Better, Stories of Mental Health. Join us for discussions with Megan Trainor, Chris Bosch, Rebel Wilson, and more.
From discussing motherhood to immigrating to general mental health, our guests are awe-inspiring. We all struggle with the same things, so let's talk about it and destigmatize them. Find our new podcast, Getting Better, Stories of Mental Health, on iHeart, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
Still living in 2021 and manually taking notes? There is a better way. Start the new year with Otter.ai. Automatically get meeting notes. Otter.ai works for virtual meetings like Zoom, Microsoft Teams, and Google Meet. Sign up on the web for free or download in the app stores. Otter.ai. That's OTTER.ai.
You coming to bed, hon?
Yep, honey. I'll be right there. Just got to turn out the light. Ow. Ow.
Some things never change. Like your kids always leaving tiny toys on the floor for you to step on. And Geico saving folks lots of money on their car insurance.
Sweetie, I think I left the downstairs light on.
Please don't make me go.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right there, I am your host, Rashawn McDonald, and welcome to Money Making Conversations. Each Money Making Conversation interview talks with entrepreneurs, and entertainers. That's what I do on this show. I provide the consumer and business owner access to celebrities, CEOs, entrepreneurs, and industry decision makers. You know, I like to tell everybody that the Money Making Conversation interviews provide relatable information to the listener about career and financial planning, entrepreneurship, motivation, leadership, overcoming the odds, and how to live a balanced life. My next guest is a comedy legend. I can only put it like that. He is a legend. I had the good fortune of meeting him several times when I managed Steve Harvey, and he made a surprise visit on stage when I was producing BET's Comic View, so I know him well. He makes his Netflix original comedy special premiere with We'll Do It for Half. I Saw It Twice. It's brilliantly funny. He's an entrepreneur with restaurants based on authentic Mexican cuisine from his grandmother's traditional recipes. He has toured with some of my favorite comedians like Eddie Griffin, D.L. Hughley, and Cedric the Entertainer. And most importantly, he is a trailblazer when he starred in his self-produced ABC sitcom. His stand-up comedy specials examines race, ethnic relations, and especially the Mexican-American culture. Please welcome to Money Making Conversations my man, George Lopez.
How are you, sir?
Pretty
wonderful
good.
To hear your voice.
Hey, my man, you know, I saw the special. They sent me a little link so I could see it earlier. So I want to make sure I saw it before I interviewed you. And George, okay, first of all, when somebody calls you a comedy legend, what is that? How do you feel when somebody says that about you?
You know, I mean, it's so, if there were doctors, you know, there's so many different doctors in different variety of fields, you know, so someone will say, you know, he's a scientist, he's a biotech scientist, he's a heart doctor, he's a brain surgeon, this guy's a dentist, this guy's a general practitioner, OBGYN, you know, oncologist. So I look at myself as almost a bit of a multi-faceted doctor. You know, one of the things that on this 41-year journey,
yes,
that I did, you know, I grew up very alone. I grew up without a male figure. I never knew my father. Mm-hmm. I didn't know my mother. My grandparents were very, you know, removed from me. And, you know, there was just something growing up that made me feel like I was different than everybody else. Not better, just different. And I couldn't put my finger on it, but it was that feeling of being different or having a better instinct than everybody that surrounded me that made me do something that was probably the most terrifying thing anybody could ever do, and do it for years,
yes,
without ever seeing any improvement. So legend in the mind of the people, but just somebody who, you know, worked hard to create a different narrative than the narrative that I saw.
I'm gonna tell you something. Being a former stand-up comic, did Def Comedy Jam, did all the comedy specials myself. I've been blessed like that. So when I saw your special, and I've seen your specials in the past as well, all your specials are funny. One of them that really made me laugh was when you, I think Cedric Entertainer was backstage, and when you ended the show, you crawled through your name to get off stage.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
I laughed so hard on that one, George. What was running through your mind? That was funny, dude.
Well, you know, that one we did live at the Kennedy Center, which I was there for Eddie Murphy's Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I stood there and I got a couple of jokes off and I got a huge response, I thought, you know, if I'm going to do my HBO special, they wanted to do it on Broadway. You couldn't find a theater.
Mm-hmm.
But then being there at Eddie's place, I thought, you know, I like this room. It's a perfect size. It's a great place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, politically where we were with the wall, and then everybody was afraid of having the American flag upside down.
Right.
Because upside down means distress. Mm-hmm. And as we had a meeting months before the production, because they had to start to build the set, we were under an agreement that the director, Troy Miller, who's an incredible director, did Arrested Development, crazy stuff, that we told him that we weren't going to put the flag upside down. But he said, hell no, man, we're putting the flag upside down. So it wasn't until I got there that day to rehearse that we noticed that the flag was upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, hey, G, you know, at the end of your show, you should crawl under the wall here. And I said, man, my fat ass ain't going to fit under that. He goes, yeah, you'll fit. And I did it, man.
Telling you something, man. I laughed so I went and grabbed my wife and played that back. I said, look at this fool. He crawled under his name, under the wall, and then backstage Cedric was laughing, man. That's what I'm talking about. Legendary stuff, man, because as a stand-up, you know, I know the pressure it takes to be able to go on stage, be original. And when I look at you, when I watch this special, man, this is what I say about stand-up. When I look at a special, I go, wow, I would never thought of that joke. I wouldn't never throw that joke. And that's your special, man. And it's on Netflix. And it's your very first one on Netflix. And we'll do it for half. And just tell us about the whole process of getting it over to Netflix and taping it in San Francisco.
Well, you know, let me say this before, you know, because you just stand up. So one thing I think inherited in everyone is,
yes,
some people, everybody has a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they take themselves too serious, or they need to lighten up, or they're dry. One of the things about comedy and comedians is even the odds of even getting a little bit of light shown on you is so nearly impossible.
Right.
But, you know, there's so many guys that I saw growing up and that I saw in the clubs in the 80s, 90s, in this last 20 years that were so good, that were so clever, that were great writers, and whatever fortune, whatever fate, didn't let anything shine on those guys. And as much as the world needs laughter, there's a whole group of comedians who are incredibly funny that no one will ever hear of. That's why whatever you do, do it because you love it, because, you know, there's no guarantee that you're not going to be one of those cats that gets any love. But if you feel good about what you do, then that's already becoming a success. You know, success isn't like everybody knows your name and
right,
people see you. Yeah, that's great. But the one thing is that you never loosen your grip on something that you can't really get a grip on. Like, I think you work harder when you get a little love and you start to do theaters, you start to do arenas, and you start to meet the people that you started to meet on the way up. I've seen a lot of guys fade out, but I always worked the hardest when I had my show, when I had my talk show, when I had the specials. So it's just been something that I've never been able to relinquish. So going to San Francisco and going to the Warfield and knowing the history of it, yes, knowing that Jimi Hendrix played there, Janis Joplin, Santana, Nirvana, The Grateful Dead, everybody that's anybody's been in there. And, you know, it, you can do it anywhere, but when you do it in a place that has historical significance, going to the Apollo, Chris Spencer asked me to do this thing at the Apollo, and going there, it may not mean anything to anybody else. That's not for me to decide. But what it meant to me to be on stage at the Apollo, to go to the Warfield, to go do Radio City, is beyond, you know, anybody's true imagination or level of appreciation. I'm just kind of honored to be able to do the things that I've always wanted to do.
And thank you for explaining that, because I remember I was producing BET's Comic View. You may not remember this. And J. Anthony Brown was hosting that run of BET's Comic View. And you came and we were trying to get you to go on stage. You said, "Oh, no, this is not my thing. This is not my thing. You know, it's y'all. I'm just here to watch and just wish everybody good luck." And I remember we got you to go on stage, and you walked on stage. We introduced you, and a whole room of black people stood up and gave you a standing ovation. And that, to me, you know, because, you know, you're always famous with your group, you know, like Jerry Seinfeld, he famous with his crowd, and you know, and you establish your brand of just being a funny guy. But in my mind, the Mexican American culture was your home run. And when I saw you walk out there, George, and these black people stood up, because you know, black people just like Hispanics, you know, they don't give it up unless they respect it. Okay,
yeah.
And when they walked out there and gave you a standing ovation, man, I went, this dude got it, man. He got something extra going on in his life, and I just that's why I call you a legend, man. Because when you cross all these different lanes, man, with respect, that's beautiful, dude. That's beautiful.
My grandmother raised me. My grandmother was, in my act, I would say, you know, my grandmother was racially insensitive, like your grandmother's, like everybody's grandmother's racially insensitive. So part of my material is about her relationship with African-American people,
yes,
and them coming to the door, not opening the door, her relationship with black people saying, you know what, like I said, my first girlfriend, here's a true story. And it hurts, and it's still funny to this day. Like, when I was in seventh grade, there was this girl that looked like Get Christy Love. She was in seventh grade. Mm-hmm. Her name was Christina Husky. Fro, light-skinned, tall, beautiful, and she liked me. And all my friends gave me a hard time, and I would walk with her to class, and I, you know, I dug her, and she was cool. She lived on the other side of the street from where I lived, the main street. And one day I was walking home with her, and my grandmother, I guess, must have got off work early and saw me and rolled the window down and honked the horn and did a U-turn on San Fernando Mission, rolled the window down and says, "Hey, Shaft, get your ass home." She called me Shaft.
Mm-hmm.
When I was walking with this African-American girl. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the fuck she knew who Shaft was, mm-hmm, but she's like, "Hey, Shaft, get home," you know, and she flipped out. So I said, "So what? What if I like a black girl?" She goes, "Oh, no. I said, why is it your concern?" She goes, "Because I don't like them, and if you do, they're going to see me with you, and they're going to think I like them, and I don't." I mean, that's how she thought.
Right.
And then in school, Christina came over to me one day and said she didn't feel that I should spend any more time with her because people wouldn't get it, and it was just becoming an issue. Mm-hmm. I never walked her to class. I never walked her home from school after that. And you know what? I was a young kid, still made quite an impression on me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in order to look at stand-up as all of the stand-up, mm-hmm, being racially insensitive to different groups, especially Latinos, was part of my mix. So you can't pull one thing out and say, you know, he's racist towards African-American people when I've said worse things about everybody else. One of the things that made Richard Pryor or Dick Gregory or, you know, George Carlin, or made anybody, you, Steve, Cedric, DL, Eddie Griffin, who makes anybody anything, is not the, if you're going to shoot the gun, shoot the gun. Don't hold the gun and not shoot it. Then put the gun down. So in comedy, if you're going to take the shot, take the shot.
That's right.
Don't dance around the shot. Don't hem and haw. Don't look at an audience and say, I can't do that. You know, there's so many people here, I can't do that. The honesty is what gets the respect, and the legacy is somebody never pulling a punch.
It's finally here, the season of celebration. And no matter how you celebrate with family and friends, whether you're preparing for Reyes Magos or Karamu, lighting the menorah, or going to midnight mass, Kohl's has just what you need to make those traditions special. Plus, you'll find gifts for all your loved ones. Send warm wishes with cozy fleeces, sweaters, loungewear, blankets, and throws. Support minority-owned or founded brands by giving gifts from Human Nation and Shea Moisture. Or treat them to everyone's favorite activewear from top brands like Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour. And in the spirit of giving, Kohl's Cares is donating $8 million to local nonprofits nationwide committed to the health and well-being of our communities. No matter how you celebrate, when you shop at Kohl's, you're right where you belong. So this season, give with all your heart with great gifts from Kohl's or Kohl's.com.
Whether your event needed one room or an entire conference center, Hopin has revolutionized the way people come together. With Hopin, you can host a fully fledged digital meetup complete with one-on-one meetings, hands-on sessions, and expo booths. And because everything is hosted in a single, easy-to-use platform, it can be as big or small as you want, remain convenient for anyone who wants to attend, and give you access to data you never would have known otherwise. Visit Hopin.com to learn more and get started.
Still living in 2021 and manually taking notes? Start the new year with Otter.ai to generate automatic notes for meetings, interviews, or lectures. With Otter.ai, you can search the meeting notes, insert images, playback the audio, and share them with your friends or coworkers. You can capture action items, remember meeting details, and keep everyone informed. Otter.ai works for in-person or virtual meetings like Zoom, Microsoft Teams, and Google Meet. Sign up for free at Otter.ai or download the app for free. Otter.ai, that's OTTER.AI.
Now, I'm talking to George Lopez, the brilliant George Lopez. He has a Netflix special that's coming out June 30th, Tuesday, June 30th. It's called We'll Do It for Half. We'll Do It for Half. When I started your interview, George, I told you I watched your special twice, okay? And this is why I watched this. But first of all, I enjoyed it. And then I remember, you know, as in the beginning, we just want to get a stage so we can tell some jokes so we can be funny. That's the goal. Just to be funny, go from an opener to a middle act to a headliner, get that first class ticket, and you traveling and all that good stuff. And anything else that comes along is a blessing. Okay, that's the life of a stand up of the average stand up comic in this country right now. Now, then I went to your website and I saw your brand. I saw restaurants. I saw brew halls. I saw your foundation. I saw COVID-19 face mask. I saw We Can't Breathe t-shirts. And so now when I look, then I looked at your special again, and I put into perspective all that weight that you're now carrying on stage with you now. When you're performing. See, in the beginning, you didn't carry all that weight, employees and COVID-19 and all that stuff. All that's going on stage with you now. And a lot of people don't understand that. To be funny, man, under that amount of global understanding gave me a truly different perspective and appreciated your comedy even more when I saw it the second time. You understand where I'm coming from?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think everybody liked me when my show started. You know, my show wasn't a huge hit, but it did 120 episodes. It did, you know, 5.5 years on ABC, which I had a company, but that was the family show with an edge. But I'm going to tell you right now that I lost a lot of people, including Latino people. When I started to vocalize and I started to have my opinion on issues, but also at the Grammys in February 2008, the election was in November of 8, Chris Rock called me on a Monday after the Grammys and said, can I give Barack Obama your telephone number? Because he wants to ask you, you know, something about your support. Hillary Clinton's office had sent a fax to the office, very impersonal. And I said, sure. So I'm watching CNN. At 1:52, Barack Obama's campaigning, he's a senator, and it's a 155 and he's leaving. And I said, there is no way that this guy is going to call me at 2 o'clock. If I'm watching CNN and he's leaving an event, there's no way.
Right.
Call, he'll call at 2:30 or 3. 2 o'clock, phone rings. Hello, George Lopez. Yes. Home for the senator. George, Barack Obama, how are you? Hey, I saw you on TV. Yeah, yeah. I said, he said, listen, I don't know where you are politically, but, you know, the Latino vote means a lot to me. I think the communities have a lot in common. I said, listen, man, you know, I will help you. And then I did what maybe was the most difficult thing to do in Texas, in South Texas, is I would go to these theaters and people would be lined up to see me twice in an afternoon. Mm-hmm. I would talk about half an hour. There'd be a political, the mayor, then there'd be some political speeches. And then I would go do a half hour, maybe 45 minutes. And then I would say that I'm going to support Barack Obama. And they would boo and they would yell and they would hiss. And I would be like, listen, wait a minute, hang on a second. They would fucking walk out on me. And then I kept on the message. I stayed, and I started to say, listen, you're going to vote for somebody just because she's not African-American. That's like you go buy the same beer every time because your dad bought it. You go buy the same soap because your mom bought it. I said, there's choices, and we shouldn't just follow it. Man, it was the most difficult to have your own people mm-hmm. turn on you for your political stance of getting someone who's different, who's African-American. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of racial division between our cultures as
Absolutely.
Well. And they just didn't get it until I kept doing it. And he started to do it. But one time in New Mexico, we had a rally out there by U of M, and they tore the gates down trying to get in. They expected 20,000 people. That's 50,000 people out there.
Wow. You know, they're
turn them around.
It's an amazing thing. And when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to a historian. Okay, and that's a compliment right there, because when you say 41 years of comedy, man, because we are people don't understand about comedians, good comedians. We really just document things and then we twist them on stage, but we really are telling the truth in a way. If you just really broke down what we are saying, we make it funny because we make real sharp left or right turns, and that's where the humor comes mm-hmm. from. But we're really just telling mm-hmm. you the truth. And when I look at COVID-19, if you don't mind me talking about it right quick, it's affecting the Hispanic community, the Latino community, and the Black community is being devastated by the COVID-19. And then I went on the website, and I was so happy to see that you are doing your part providing COVID-19 face masks. How did you get into that, and what motivated you to participate at that level?
Well, first of all, you know, we're not, and let's not even go into talk about medical and our medical conditions. So I had a kidney transplant in 2005 from when I was married. My wife Ann gave it to me. But this was stuff that should have been detected when I was a child. I wet the bed, you know, kids wet the bed, you know, and instead of saying that maybe there's something wrong, because there was something wrong, I just didn't do it because I drank so much water I couldn't keep it in. I mean, I had a narrow ureter. I was born early, went undetected. I could have had both my original kidneys if I had come from a culture where when somebody wets the bed, you take them to the doctor. If I would have had a blood test, if I'd have had an MRI or something, I could have saved myself. So the fact that we ignore situations of our health until clearly we can't get out of bed, I knew something was wrong. So with COVID and a compromised immune system mm-hmm. and knowing that it can spread the family and that it's invisible and that you had to take it serious, it was a no-brainer, man, to get involved in the mask, to donate money to charity, to try to get people the mask as well. But also, you know, let's talk about D.L. Hughley, who
asymptomatic. Mm-hmm.
So you look at pre-existing conditions, but also I said this, you know, and I haven't talked to him about this, but I just feel like as you never want to fall out on stage, you never want to fall out anywhere. Could have been driving, could have been anywhere. That may have been the best thing for him personally, because if it had happened in a hotel room, he probably would have thought, I'm fatigued, I didn't eat, I've been traveling, and look past the COVID until maybe it was further along and now it was more serious.
Right.
So he raises that fact that he fell out in Nashville. A larger issue is that maybe we shouldn't be rushing back to the clubs as comedians and as an audience, because this is a real real thing. And as hard as it is to get by, because a lot of us don't have disposable income, mm-hmm. you only have one life, and that's the life that you need to protect.
I was right. Talking to George Lopez. His comedy special examines race, ethnic relations, especially the Mexican-American culture. Anything different than this special that's airing on Netflix on June 30th, George Lopez?
You know, I think
other than you
seeing,
just being incredibly funny. You're being funny now, dude. I want to tell you, you actually do two specials. You do one in English and you do one in Spanish. You know that, right?
That's true. Yeah. So I think creating the narrative of the uncle that was like going to the doctor, had gangrene in his foot, had right. kidney disease, had heart disease, creating a alter ego, also, you know, using, wanting to know where all the food comes from, wanting to be in other people's business, all this whole thing about Karens and all these people, if they have one thing consistently, is they're all older
yes.
white women.
Yes.
Because everybody else has found a way to mind your own business. When I was married to a woman that if she saw a kid without a parent, the parent was sitting down 2 feet away. She's like, you shouldn't leave your kid unattended. I said, Ann, you're going to get knocked out. You know, mind your own business.
Right.
So we as a culture mind our own business. But when someone thinks they're superior to you, they don't have a problem walking up to you in a restaurant when you're eating, asking why you're not wearing a mask. But if someone sees me or sees anybody of color in a convenience store and you're starting to throw N-word around, you start to throw some disrespect, you're gonna take a two-piece combo right by the 5-hour energy drinks and those vitamins that could stop your heart.
You're too much, man. Listen, you're too much.
Every one of those ladies has taken what they deserve. They told that lady, go back to where you came from. like a heavy bag.
Yes, yes, yes. My man, I appreciate you, George Lopez, man. I just wanted to talk to you, man, on my show. And can I come from a different angle?
It went by fast. This is the fastest interview I think I've ever had. Dude, it's 20 hours, 25 minutes.
It really is. It's like 23 minutes right now. But I just want to let you know, when people come on Money Making Conversation, man, I have no agenda. But your greatness need to be discussed. I just want to let people hear a little bit of you, because there's a man behind those jokes.
Let me say this. You know, the restaurants and the beer and all that stuff came to me as an opportunity.
Yes, sir.
You know, if there's one thing that we have is we have an imaginative mind. You can be an inventor and come from no place. Everybody who's an inventor has come from not from wealth. They come from their own idea. If you have an idea for an invention or something you think is different, don't just live with that idea. Look online. Look for these places. Look for a place. Because, listen, the strangest things can happen to you. Nothing is impossible. And if you have an idea that you think is relevant and is good, somebody will find that idea if you reach out and say, I have this great idea for something.
That's true. That's very true. That's very true. George Lopez, I don't want to hold you. My man, thank you for taking the time to come on Money Making Conversation and speaking to me, Rashawn McDonald, my brother. Stay safe. And I will be promoting you throughout my social media and my fan club because people need to know who you are, brother. You're a star, man. You're a legend. You're a comedy legend. Appreciate it. Be safe now, okay?
Appreciate you. Okay, cool. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it, Rashawn. Thanks.
Bye-bye. If you want to hear more Money Making Conversation interviews, please go to moneymakingconversation.com. I'm Rashawn McDonald. I'm your host.
In this season of giving, Kohl's has gifts for all your loved ones. For those who like to keep it cozy, find fleeces, sweaters, loungewear, blankets, and throws. Or support minority-owned or founded brands by giving gifts from Human Nation and Shea Moisture. And in the spirit of giving, Kohl's Cares is donating $8 million to local nonprofits nationwide. Give with all your heart this season with great gifts from Kohl's or Kohl's.com.
Still living in 2021 and manually taking notes? There is a better way. Start the new year with Otter.ai. Automatically get meeting notes. Otter.ai works for virtual meetings like Zoom, Microsoft Teams, and Google Meet. Sign up on the web for free or download in the app stores. Otter.ai. That's OTTER.ai.
Okay, so we have the car payment, the rent, utilities,
and the repair bill.
What should we do?
I know. I'm going to CashNetUSA.com. I can apply in minutes, get an instant decision, and if approved, we could have the money in our account as soon as the same business day.
When you need money fast, be the hero. Go to CashNetUSA.com to apply for the money you need now. The exact timing as to when your loan funds will be available will be determined by your banking institution.